Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Joe LaPuma. You are listening to the Complex Sneakers Podcast. You may have heard the two quarters drop. This is the 50th episode.
A milestone.
It's a milestone. It's an early morning episode. I'm with my guys. He just finished his workout. His hair is slicked back. Might be sweat. It might be LA Looks hair gel. I can't tell, but I am with my guy, Matt Welty.
Up at the crack of dawn, ready to give you this content.
Okay. And of course, my man, looking fresh as always, Brendan Dunn, straight from Brooklyn. Another Reebok ad on the Instagram. You might have saw two this past week. He's looking good. How you doing?
Did you guys interact with both of them?
I hope you liked it. I immediately like them.
Thank you for that.
I got a Reebok package. That I think we'll talk about a little later in the mail. Yeah, we got three sneakers showed up from Reebok, and it hit close to home. La Familia sent them. And we'll get to that because we're going to discuss probably your full-size run guest this week. How are we feeling? Just to let the audience know, it is currently Wednesday morning. It's early morning. We had the day off for Election Day yesterday. And as we stand this morning, 9:10, the results are not fully in. We're going to work through it and have some fun today.
Yeah, this is not about the presidential election. We just wanted to let you know where we were with respect to that, but this is all about sneakers as per usual. Hopefully a distraction from the madness.
Exactly. How we doing, guys? What's going on? Anytime I take a day off and I have like 2 days off in a row, I feel like I haven't been in the company for a year. So what's going on? What'd I miss?
I have a bone to pick with you if we can get spicy right away.
Okay, let's do it.
We have to sort some things out, Joe.
Wow, I didn't know.
You and I
okay.
do. Okay, you remember a few weeks ago the whole Double Taps incident?
No.
Remember, you were trying to get at Wealthy and myself we let you call Double Taps on Action Bronx's sneaker shopping.
Of course.
You said we didn't hold you down. You said we let you go out with bad info.
That's true.
You let me come out here with some bad info, and the fact checkers got on my ass for it. You want to know what this is about, Joe?
Yes, I do.
Kiss Treats.
Okay.
I was on this podcast a few weeks ago talking about how Kiss Treats needed to do a Levain collaboration, the cookie store, iconic spot, bakery from the Upper West Side that is now across the street. And I got two people in my DMs. I got one of the Pulvers. I don't know which Pulver. I'm sorry, guys. Both of them future captains of industry at Nike.
Yes, they are.
They fact-checked me. They said Kith already did a cookie collab with Levain across the street. Tyler Mansour, big up Lebanon. He was in my DMs as well. And I blame nobody but Joe LaPuma.
That's my bad.
Consigliere.
That is my bad. It's also tough to keep track, though.
You have your name on the menu, and you couldn't.
It's tough to keep track, but
I thought that was Andy Oliver, the Kith Consigliere.
Andy's part of the real crew. I'm just a
I can't figure out La Whole Familia.
Family member adjunct. Is that what? That's the word, right?
We'll take it. I think.
If not, we cutting it. So, but what was like the Pulvers are Kith experts, and
how are you gonna let the Pulvers out Kith you?
No, hold on. It was either Jake or Dylan Pulver who did a remix to a Rick Ross song. The Tupac back song, and when the Kith Leatherbacks were dropping, they did a rap song called Kith Leatherbacks.
I need that.
It's not
DMs.
On sound. Tell them they have to DM us. They know it. They know what I'm talking about. They were rapping. It was on SoundCloud. I remember.
And but Ronnie didn't jump into the crew off the strength?
Yeah, they're in Portland, aren't they?
Oh,
Nike?
Yeah.
Yeah, good for them. I see they hang out with Marco.
I said, future captains of industry.
Yeah, they hang out with Marco. I see them on campus.
Listen, Pulver's welcome in my DMs. Marco not welcome in my DMs. Just
why?
So we're
what?
Setting up the rules. We don't need to get into all that, but he knows why.
Uh-oh.
He knows
He's always why. Welcome in my DMs.
Got some spiciness on this Wednesday morning.
God, I love it. The 50th episode, 1 year ago at ComplexCon. And let us know in the comments. This you can DM us. Let us know in the comments if you were in that room at ComplexCon a year ago when we recorded the first quote-unquote pilot episode of this podcast. It was a small room. We really didn't know what we were doing. And that is how this Complex Sneakers podcast was born. It was kind of like they threw us into the fire and – the topic was Kanye becoming a billionaire off Adidas. And if you were in that room, how many people you think were in that room? 30? 40?
30,000. It was
30,000.
The Dodgers Stadium, was it?
Stadium status.
Yeah. But if you were in that room, you guys got the first look at this podcast. And I feel like we've came a long way in about a year and 50 episodes deep. So, yeah, that was, man, ComplexCon. I missed it. You know, obviously the pandemic, we're all going through it, and it's like nothing is the same.
No.
That's what Drake said.
Yeah, but ComplexCon is always a great weekend, and it hits a little different that, you know, we're not in Long Beach. But
you know who was there, I bet? The Pulvers.
Were they?
I'm sure.
Okay. They're titans of industry. I saw the Pulvers, I think, outside of Kith, the first release, the first ASICS release.
Just
starry-eyed young twins, and look at them now. The come up, the glow up.
Joe, you want to know a really random story that just popped in my head when you said that?
Of course.
This is a throwback, and it may kind of segue into our, not totally into our topic today, but a good taste of a snapshot of Complex life. You said nothing was the same. I remember I was freelancing at Complex at the time, and I used to come to the office one day a week. It was just Mondays. I would come in, you know, go to Jersey, to New York, and work with everyone. And it was the day the album dropped. Nothing was the same. And all fucking day, Tuscan Leather.
Yeah.
Tuscan Leather. All day, that one song. If people don't know.
People trying to memorize
don't know.
What, I was playing it all day long?
No. Joe LaPuma. At the old Complex office on 50th Street, you used to have the corner office. You used to share it with Jack Irwin. And you had a massive sound system.
It's crazy because I had a literally, I had a subwoofer from college that was like a Dell. Remember Dell? Obviously, Dell computers.
Of course.
Dude, you're getting a Dell. I had a subwoofer, and it was like the best subwoofer. Even like, that was like almost... what, 8 years later than college, and it still was the most powerful thing.
You get an RA called on you?
Yeah, exactly. I used to blast it in the Complex office, which, you know, maybe I should apologize now for. But, and I used to just...
My least memorable Joe LaPuma on blast song was... There was one, I think it was the summer before that, so it was summer 2013, and non-fucking-stop Eminem Monster.
Okay, I was just going to say... Eminem, Rihanna.
Yeah, non-stop.
Non-stop.
Like 10, 12
times. He's right. He is right, and I think Noah Callahan-Bever, the former EIC, tweeted, like, Eminem's Monster is, like, the perfect Joe LaPuma song right now, and it was just on loop. You're right. You have
this guy's memory is
good
insane.
How, though?
It's
he
insane.
Has a really good memory. I'm bad with years. I have a good memory.
I'm really bad with years, though. I just remember, like, my life by, like, the sneakers I was wearing or the song I was listening to. By, like, that's how I correlate what was going on by those sort of things. So I don't remember the important stuff, but I remember the stupid stuff, so...
I'm very bad with years, but memory's good. But your memory's on a different level. And that's true. Eminem's Monster, it was just like loop when it came out. So,
Welty, what sneakers will you remember when you look back on this historic year?
You're talking 2013?
I'm talking 2020 right now.
What sneakers will I remember from this year, like in my personal life? I hate saying it. Like, literally all I've worn this year are 990 V5s a really cheap pair of ZX 4000s and Hoka running shoes. That's literally, that's it.
But the Hoka thing is big because you, like Joe said, you've had that vest on.
Yeah, and I feel like too much like I'm ready to hang out with like Joe's family with the hair slicked back on this one.
You're welcome.
No, in a good way.
Yeah.
In the best way.
In the best way.
The Barada and the Mortadella on deck. You know what sneaker I'm going to remember from this year, even though you didn't ask me, you asked him? Purple 992.
It looks good, man.
I love that sneaker. And also,
shout out to Riley Jones.
Yes, of course. Riley Jones, he hooked that up. But I love how that sneaker looks and also like had pandemic proof, not like a good night in them. The first time I wore them, like, you know, distanced, of course. And
with
safe.
The mask on?
Yeah, mask, everything. But like probably one of the best nights of I had in the pandemic. It was just a really fun night out.
Where'd you go? We can't say.
You can't. You see? Yeah. It was just, you know, it was like not because those nights are few and far between now. But like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I just remember.
Oh, I have a guess. Actually, no. We'll talk about that elsewhere.
Yeah. Offline.
A few under the radar shoes, though. New Balance wise, that 920, very, very good shoe. If you don't have,
is that the
Potter
one?
Yes.
Nice. Very,
those are nice. And 2002. I like that shoe.
Do you have that one, the Pata one?
I don't have the Pata one. I have the inline GR one.
I got to say, not a shoe I'm remembering, but a shoe I'm looking forward to. We did get the white off-white Jordan 5 secured. You know what Beanie Siegel said, no names, though. Claim your shoes. But those are in the mail. I'm happy
about
that. And also, I don't know who needs to hear this, but the Sakai Nike Vapor Waffle sucks.
I don't know if I can wear it. It's going to look too big with my foot. And you know, you guys know me. Sakai Nike is my thing.
You don't need those, Joe. But what you do need, Nike ACG Mountain Fly Gore-Tex.
Yes.
Another name.
November 12th, right?
Yes.
November 12th. That's happening.
We might have to do a corporate retreat, Steens Mountain in Oregon. Maybe head out to Moab, do some trail hiking. What do you think, Joe? Can we set that up?
Hiking?
Just to wear test them.
I'll meet you guys at the bottom of the trail. We could expense those and we'll wear test them. And we could wear test them like you did the parkour ad.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't an ad. not sponsored.
Not yet, at least. But those ACGs.
Oh, the ACG joints. I thought you were talking about the parkour shoes. Yeah.
No. Yeah.
ACGs are a must. Headed to LA tomorrow, guys.
Ooh, what's going on in LA?
First time on a flight since March. I am wearing the shield and the mask. I'm wearing the shield. Yep, doubling up.
And who are you shooting?
I can't say, but there's some good ones.
Can we get a hint?
No. I'll tell you guys offline, but I have 6 shoots in LA.
My God. Where are you staying?
I'm staying on Sunset Boulevard, and that's all we'll say.
How long are you staying in LA?
8 days.
I know we don't want to say exactly where you're staying or exactly who you're shooting, but we know a little bit what your itinerary?
Absolutely.
Are you going out to Joshua Tree? Are you hitting Palm Springs?
No, that's not. You can't imagine
Vision
me at Joshua
Quest,
Tree.
Maybe?
We're hitting Uncle Paulie's, I'll tell you that
peyote.
Much. I wonder if Chosun Galbi, the Korean barbecue place, is open. Because if it is, and distance and safe, we hit in that as well. We're also hitting, how predictable, but we'll hit Kith on Sunset. Sunset Boulevard. That I used to go to I have a routine in LA. I get up very early. I stay on New York time. 6 a.m. I wake up. 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. LA time. And
you put on the wealthy weighted running vest?
Not that, but I walk Sunset Boulevard. 6 a.m. I get a coffee. And it's like the streets are so quiet. Now it's going to be really quiet because of the pandemic. But I get a coffee. I usually sit, gain my thoughts. And then I go to Uncle Paulie's for lunch, get the Italian sandwich hot. You would, Welty, you would love it. Done. You would, do you eat?
I
eat
meat when I'm
meats?
Not in New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
You would love it too. And then go to Kith on Sunset. And
they open
then
up
I'm
early
usually,
for you?
No, they don't open early, but they open up early enough. And then I'm preparing for a shoot and I miss LA. The flight, I don't know why I'm a little nervous about not getting sick or anything. I just haven't flown in since March. Think about I know. We were flying so much, and then I have, like, the last flight I was on was coming back from the Lil Wayne episode, the season finale of season 10, which was the night after the NBA season got canceled. So
I hope you didn't let that diamond medallion expire, Joe.
I was wondering about that. There's no way that they could do that.
No, you'll be good.
All right. Enough about me.
Oh, you said you wanted to talk about something, and it's right here.
Yes. Look at that. Put them up. Get the screen grab. Sean Evans. Hold on. Should I go get... Do you have yours done or no?
Yeah.
Hold on. We got to do a screen grab, all three of us. Our guy, look. One, two, three. Sean Evans. Hot ones. Shout out to Sean Evans. Shout out Sarah Honda. Shout out Chris Schoenberger.
Reebok Hot Ones collaboration. Three sneakers.
Three sneakers. They got a collaboration before us.
No comment. But I'm happy.
Congratulations.
For them.
I'm super happy for them. Look, they got the Scoville scale on the tongue.
I think this is my favorite of the bunch.
What, the classic leather? No, the Club C. I'm sorry.
Club C. It's just the leather's like really nice on it. Not that you wouldn't expect it to be great leather, but the leather is even better than you would expect on a collaboration.
Also, I didn't even plan it, but look at the heavy matching. Perfect.
That's the screenshot right there.
Look at that. Look at
Joe
that.
Stepping Dave out Matthews, on sunset
get
like that.
That.
The,
get
the,
that
the,
screenshot.
The colors on the Shaq Hot Ones sneaker shining
exactly.
Ombre like a Los Angeles sunset.
Congrats to our guy, Sean
Evans.
Yo,
I think you could pull these off.
I like those. The Club C's.
They're white, man. I don't know.
I like those. I know I don't wear white, but you know what those would look good? A little dirtied up. That's like a Jose Melendez shoe as well. Well deserved.
You know where these would look good?
Where?
Good bocce ball shoe.
I played. Did you ever play bocce ball? I used to play.
Never played in my life.
Bocce ball is fun. Don, you should. You're, as someone who's cultured, you should play bocce ball.
You think so?
Yeah, I used to play with Carmine Martino, RIP to the god. Rest in peace, my dad's best friend. We used to go to Woodlock, Pennsylvania every summer, bocce ball tournaments. Carmine Martino, an OG in my neighborhood. He taught me how to play bocce ball, so...
That sounds like a good time. I'm not going to lie. I'm more
really
focused on trying to find like a Wingspan tournament or some new board game so that I can get really competitively into.
All right. Well, opposite ends of the spectrum from bocce ball, but okay.
I'm kind of disappointed in my timeline seeing so much Pokemon lately.
Well, that's this guy's influence, isn't it?
I haven't gone digging for the old cards, but trust me, in fifth grade, when it came to the Pokemon binder, I was the man. No debate.
Really? You were
no
the
debate.
Plug?
Yes.
Just showed up into the lunchroom?
I was early on that wave, and here's what I remember specifically. I remember having the binder, having all the cards, and I remember flipping through some on the playground and me being like, yeah, I got that. And Kyle Meshko getting upset at me saying, Brendan always just says he has all the Pokemon cards. This fuck Kyle's because I had them.
Hey,
I
listen.
I wasn't just saying it.
I hate when that happens, and sometimes I did it literally 8 minutes ago. Where you're like, oh, the off-white fives are on the way. I was like, I have them. But listen, if you have them,
sorry,
you have
Kyle.
Them.
Sorry, Kyle.
Let
hey,
that
one
hurt
thing
go,
I
Kyle.
Mention... You guys ever get hyped off a LinkedIn request?
I haven't. I'm never on LinkedIn.
Low-key, I'm kind of addicted to LinkedIn, and... You know, the other week, Joe was talking about how I'm always texting everyone. I feel like it's because I'm trying to stay as connected as possible at all times. I don't know if this is inappropriate to discuss here, but I got an invitation to connect with this guy who is the chief brand officer of Sonic the Hedgehog and the SVP of Sega of America, Inc. Any chance I'm being headhunted here?
Wow.
You think
imagine?
They want me to play Dr. Robotnik in the next Sonic movie?
Maybe they hear all this talk and they think that you could develop some sort of character that... is based on the superpowers you read on the back of your magic cards.
you think they're basing the new Shenmue off my life? Like, I want to know. I want to know what this is going to turn into.
But yeah, but you better watch out too, because I feel like LinkedIn's like some dude says he's like the brand like officer of Sonic, and you just find out that he like played a video game once and
he had Sega Channel back in the day.
Yeah, it's like the connectedness to people's titles on LinkedIn to versus like who they actually
gotcha.
Are.
Okay, I'll make 100% sure before I sign any deals with them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For the 50th episode, I brought the Complex Sneakers podcast dad hat back out. When are these going on sale? I feel like, let us know if you guys would buy these.
Still not available to the public, but.
I mean, come on. We got to get it together, right?
Doesn't it feel like forever ago since we were in the studio?
Yeah.
Since we were in the studio, since we had the first episode. And that's why we're looking back today, right? We want to do a little bit of reflecting.
Yes, we are. And we don't have a guest today. We figured, you know, I think that you guys, the audience, like when we share stories of kind of our early humble beginnings in the industry. And
very humble.
Very humble beginnings. And so we wanted to do this kind of a look back as to kind of our early industry stories.
You know what, though, Joe? Like, even your history, I realize how much of it I don't know.
Really?
When we were talking about setting this up, I said, like you just said, that we've told these stories here and there, but I don't think we've discussed a lot of them on here. And I think we should start with Joe, because Joe's been in the sneaker media industry game the longest. Joe, what was your first entry point in terms of making the switch from retail? Obviously, you worked at Finish Line, but how did you get into the media industry?
So basically what was happening for me is that I was trying to write for anyone that would just have me, essentially. I was working at the Finish Line a lot
of
hours.
Out of college, after college?
Out of college and still working at the Finish Line and being a manager. I was an assistant manager, and in Finish Line, they had assistant manager, MIT, and then general manager of a store. MIT was basically, if a store opens up, you're next in line.
Okay.
And to be totally candid, I didn't want to do that, but it was just like the progression from like an assistant manager to MIT. And MIT, I was always a little worried because like there would be these meetings and the district manager or the regional manager would come and be like, oh, the MITs are here. Like, you guys are next in line for a store. And
give me anxiety just even thinking about those situations.
Yeah, I was anxious. Like, I was anxious about it. And at that point, I was at Kings Plaza, even though I started in Bayshore. And Bayshore, I was an assistant manager, and then I was an assistant manager at Roosevelt Field. But at that point in my career, we're going to fast forward because we could be here forever. But at that point in my career, I was in Kings Plaza, and I was at MIT, and I was like kind of next in line. But I was always like, they were having conversations like, you know, I remember the other thing I remember is that like the district manager would come to Finish Line and he would like take a group out or like the managers out to like Old Country Buffet or take them out to breakfast. And I just remember thinking like, man, one day I'm going to be in that group that gets to go to Old Country Buffet with the district manager. And it was like, you know, I always remember that. And I remember being at breakfast once when I was like kind of getting close and the district manager being like, you guys are next in line for a store. And I remember just everyone else being like so excited. And I was like, oh man, I'm not really ready for that. I was always a good salesman, but you know, I was like, obviously everyone who knows me knows like I'm competitive with numbers and sales numbers. So I was like good at activating the staff like that. But like there was so paperwork, office day, Mondays, like Mondays was like office day for the managers and I had no clue about it. But anyway, I always wanted to write. I always wanted to write for sneaker publications that didn't really exist, but I was buying Complex and I was seeing those sneaker pages that Bradley Carbone was putting together. And then I was writing for sites for free just to get like trying to like,
what sites?
I actually don't remember. I don't remember the site, but I will tell you there was a site that a photographer who became very, very prominent, Phil O, do you know him?
No, I never heard of him.
He was like a street – he's a street style photographer. Like he has like been in Vogue and he has like – I don't want to down – great his accomplishments. He is like one of the illest street style photographers, and he started a site. And I met with him, and I was like, hey, he was like, we need a sneaker writer. And I started writing about sneakers. I don't remember the name of the site. It just didn't work out. But I was mimicking.
Find out on a Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I was mimicking what I was seeing in Complex that Bradley was writing. And then Slam Hype, I was just cold emailing Adam from Slam Hype, and he gave me a shot. And then eventually I went to Hypebeast, and I was
what year
writing.
Is this?
This is so crazy that you were at Hypebeast back in the day. I had no idea.
Dude, I was writing for Hypebeast every Sunday, maybe 10 to 12 posts for $3 a post. And
$3. Woo. Yeah.
And I loved, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I remember, again, to the audience and honestly to you guys, I'm going to bounce around, but I'm just going to try to remember everything that is significant. I do. So the biggest thing that happened at Hypebeast was, it was when I was writing, my byline was getting out there. And I remember one of the biggest come-ups I had at Hypebeast, Angel from One Distribution. Remember who ran Crew and Supra and stuff? Do you guys remember him?
No.
Angel from Supra. Yeah. He's like the founder of the company.
Exactly. Let me tell you, I was living at home at this point.
What year is this?
Oh, God.
This is probably like what, like 2006?
I'm so bad.
2005?
Yeah, 2005, 2006, I remember writing for Hypebeast and talking to Kevin from Hong Kong. Kevin was
Kevin
in Hong
Ma.
Kong.
Kevin Ma?
Yeah, Kevin Ma. Like talking to him, and he was so particular, and that's what I really respect about. Like he was so particular even from then. But I remember getting back to Supra, the Terry Kennedy Crew hoodie, all over hoodie. Do you remember it? Black?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Terry Kennedy was in the ads with all the all-over print hoodies. And I did a post on Hypebeast about it, and I think either I sent it to Angel or he saw it and, like, emailed me. 5 all-over print Crew hoodies showed up to my house that I was living. And
the
let me
first
tell you.
Big seating moment.
Let
blew
me
your mind.
Tell you, that plastic and just seeing. I was like, wow, exactly, the first big seating. I made it. And it was those hoodies, and I remember I would just wear the hoodie zipped all the way up except for the eyes. And I remember going back to UConn after I graduated and wearing the hoodie and walking around campus. Like sometimes you go back
waiting
to school.
Waiting for somebody to ask you about it.
Well, it was just like thinking I was the coolest guy, the like guy who goes back to campus with
the BMOC.
Like, yeah. So, and the other thing I remember, you know, we'll get to Complex, but I got the Complex internship off a posting on Hypebeast. I didn't do the post, but a post went up, which Complex would never do now.
I don't understand.
I think they paid for a job posting on Hypebeast for interns.
Okay.
So it was like Complex Magazine.
Wow.
Yeah, which would never happen
like
now.
Like a public post calling for interns.
Exactly. Complex Magazine is looking for interns, and it was on Hypebeast. I'm working for Hypebeast, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is like the dream. And at that time, I was applying for 3 jobs a day, and I always had the thing. And to be honest, not to get preachy, but for any young kid listening, when they ask for advice, I always say the 3-job rule. There was a time where I was applying for 3 jobs a day. One that is something that I really didn't want to do, like Long Island local newspapers covering like budget meetings and stuff.
Server at Friendly's.
But not server at Friendly's, but like, you know, writing like, hey, listen, like, do I want to cover budget meetings in Long Island? No, but like, it's writing and it gets me out of retail. The second one was something like, okay, I would have to like really work at it, but I could totally handle this. And then the third one was a leap, like a leap of faith, which is probably like New York Times style section. And the resume would be like, you know, assistant manager at Finish Line, but not qualified. But if there was a chance, I would make it work. So that was like early history. And the other thing that I always remember as an intern, and we'll get back because I want you guys to go, but I remember going into A-Life to pick up samples of the Wu-Tang hoodie. Remember it? Remember the colored hoodie? And the clerk at A-Life was
reading. Who was it?
I don't know. I didn't know
Jesse
back then.
Jesse or Kunlei or
it wasn't them. And I remember walking into A-Life and I was going to pick up the hoodie. Also, I was buying every like just I was living at home and just spending any Finish Line money on things that I saw on Complex. And Bradley Carbone used to be like, you know, just to let you know, there's a difference between stuff that's cool IRL and on the internet. And he, that was always his tagline, like, oh, is it really cool in real life? But I went to A-Life to buy – no, I went to A-Life to, like, pull the Wu-Tang samples for Complex, the hoodie – not samples, to pull the hoodie to shoot. And I remember walking in, and the clerk was reading Hypebeast, and he was, like, on a post that I wrote, and I was like, oh, man, the dream is really happening. So little things like that.
I have a vague memory like that of being in a store and seeing somebody on a post that I wrote, being like, you know, I'm
– Yeah, exactly. Isn't it – it's a great feeling. But anyway, I we'll bounce around, but – those were like really early beginnings, and yeah, you guys.
It's also it's funny too, though, because like you talk about that, and like I remember, like not to even go all the way into it, but just
go all the way into it, man.
No, like those moments when you first start to blog, and you, in your head, you feel like the fact that you wrote a blog post for a website that the whole world is going to see it, and it's like this big deal when you really wrote like a 50 word blurb on like a new lookbook, and like you're but in your head you're like Ernest Hemingway of shoes.
You psych yourself up like you are, and to be honest you are part of it, but like you psych yourself up as to like, wow, I am like really, I mean, just going on a website back then and seeing your name under like an aggregated news style thing, even if it was 50 words, 50 to 100 words. It was such a good feeling, and it's just how it started. And the other thing that was is that I would have to do the images sometimes too. And let me tell you,
Joe LaPuma on Photoshop is not
great. And then Kevin, I remember Kevin sometimes would have to fix them, and Kevin was like a Picasso when it came to the clear. He would like just be like, oh no, you have to like make the background so, and it would. He was making
had the
photos
layers going crazy.
Yeah,
in Photoshop.
He was making photos look like they shot him in studio, and it was like press release photos. So, he always had the keen eye.
I want to know about Welty's entry point too, because I know it was also through Complex where you kind of leveled up, right, Welty?
Yeah, you know, did retail, a la Joe LaPuma. You know, I think we've mentioned it on the podcast, but for those who don't know, those who haven't heard, I ended up working at Foot Locker for like roughly 7 years. Before that, I worked at Dick's Sporting Goods in the footwear section, where I learned a lot just about footwear, not just what's cool in shoes, but like...
Who taught you that?
It was like, no, it was part of the training. They made you go through a manual where they're like, this shoe's good for pronation, this sort of boot has this much insulation, which sounded really like boring at the time, but I'm like, oh, I actually learned about like what, you know, works in footwear. And before that, one of my first jobs out of high school, which I've mentioned on here as well, was a job at a Timberland outlet store, where my mom had worked at Timberland for 15 years. So I guess like footwear, I'd say I'm a shoe dog.
To a certain extent,
have an actual like full, like my whole life has just been shoes. Oddly enough. So, you know, did that for a while, went to college, for a couple years, and I was kind of like, I wasn't feeling school at the time. I think it was because I didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, this whole blog world didn't exist. I was like, am I going to be an English teacher? Am I going to be a journalism major? Like, I had no clue as far as any of that sort of stuff went. So I thought in the back of my head, I just want to make money. I want to buy shoes. So I dropped out of school.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You dropped out of college?
Dropped out of college. I got my associate's degree. My dad made sure that I at least like finished up 2 years. And okay. I dropped out of college to work at Foot Locker, which in hindsight sounds kind of stupid or kind of like a leap of faith, because I was making zero fucking money working at Foot Locker. But, you know, I guess it kind of worked out. It worked out for you.
It's the Oprah gift. Do you know the Oprah gift when she goes like this? That's what happened. The funny thing about retail is that you say not making money. It was always pitched like, you're going to be manager and you're going to make this amount of money.
Yeah, don't worry about it. One day.
Yes. When you do the math, guys, like, it was nothing back then. For the amount of hours that you were working, like...
60 hours a week, making like fucking $27,000 a year, where you're like, how is this even real life?
Exactly. And like I remember like my friends graduating college and going on Wall Street and me being like, oh, like I'm probably making as much as they are. And then you do the math with the hours that you're putting in and it is like a joke. It was a joke. But yeah, to your point, making no money. But damn, I didn't even know that you dropped out. Okay.
Yeah, dropped out. It's funny. I mentioned this to someone the other day and this sounds really, really corny. But I remember listening to the song Fast Life, Nas in Kool G Rap. Mm-hmm. And there's like the chorus is, brother, I've got to get this money. And I remember listening to that in college. And It put it into my head that I needed to drop out of school and get a job.
But how did you transition into the media world?
So I at the time, and I think I may have said this story on here, was dating a girl and she was like, who was also into sneakers, totally unrelated, was going away to college. And it wasn't going to go away to college with the person, but just like, hey, why don't you apply to school? I'm going away to college. You should try college. I took a shot in the dark. I was like, I'm going to move back to New Jersey, where originally from, and I just applied to Rutgers. If I got in, I got in. So I applied to Rutgers, and I fucking hated working at Foot Locker. Because I remember, like, you would be there, and as Joe, as you said, as you're progressing up mm-hmm. the ladder, mm-hmm. they'd always just, like, put you into stores where you just had to deal with, like, more bullshit. And, you know, you're getting, like, physically threatened in the store. And they're like, yeah, but, like, you have Jordan releases. And you're like, right. Dude, this isn't, like, worth the anxiety in my life to just deal with, like, you know, deal with this stuff. So,
yeah,
you know, I ended up getting into Rutgers, journalism major. And like you said, Joe, like, at this time, this blog world didn't exist. This is like 2000, or it started to exist. It was like 2010. So it's like people were like, this is the recession. You're not going to, like, they kept telling us we weren't going to have a job when we graduated college, you know? So
you're,
it's
like, I'll just drop out.
Yeah. So
people
so
used to walk in, people used to walk into Finish Line for me when I was there and they'd be like, oh, you didn't go to college? And it was such a, not a nice thing to say, like, honestly. And I'd be like, no, I graduated, you know, I'm just in between jobs. And they would walk in, they were like, oh, did you stay local? I was like, I went to UConn. And they were like, oh, you didn't go away? And I'm like, yeah, I did go away. Like, I'm just doing this. And I was, it just a shitty thing to say. And
yeah,
like, I applaud people who, there's people who love retail and I applaud it. I've worked with some people who love retail, but yeah, it was like, people definitely passing judgment a little bit. And I remember those people a little bit.
So just
the screenshots.
Quickly pull it all full circle. I'm there and there was this kid, Matt, who was in my journalism class and he was part of Madberry Club. With Phil and all those guys. I didn't really know those dudes, and I think they had wanted me to maybe like help like write with them at some point. It didn't pan out. Never ended up happening. But they were like, hey, there's this other men's, this is during the whole like menswear boom, you know, like mm-hmm. 2010, where everyone's wearing Oxford shirts and Red Wing boots. And I ended up working for this menswear startup called 2-Inch Cuffs. It was all like made in USA menswear. We were doing lookbooks and shooting with models and all that sort of stuff. And I'm just writing the copy for it, doing all that stuff. My friend Jared.
Oh yeah, Lycan in Bushwick. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So people doing things. Everyone who was there is doing something now. But our lookbooks were getting posted on Complex, and I was like, I'm graduating. I need to get a job. And Gian at the time fucked with what we were doing, and I'm like, can I get an internship? I remember being so nervous, like, emailing him off the strength of like, hey, I write for the site that you guys post on the website. Can you please like hook me up? And I came in for an interview in a button-up shirt and a tie and a tie bar and some rolled up khakis.
This is the man for the job.
Wait. At Complex, you came into, that was your fit.
What is this, 2010?
Yeah, this is like peak like menswear era where I knew was Gian, so I thought that everyone at Complex was like menswear'd.
But you were a sneaker guy, of course. Like we don't want to misconstrue that.
Yes, for sure. But I walked in kind of like
I love that. You know, my fit was similar in the Complex interview, the internship interview. First of all, they had a stack of resumes Shouts to Cheryl Lamaglio. She used to run HR Legend. For Complex. Yeah. Okay.
Legend.
The thing that was very funny is that I go to the interview. It's with Cheryl and Bradley Carbone. Cheryl first. And when I tell you that there was a stack of resumes on that, they weren't even hiding. Like they weren't even hiding it. Like, hey, they were like, yeah, a lot of people applied to this stack of resumes. And I was like, oh, there's no chance I'm ever getting this. I wore Michael Kors sweater, Michael Kors button up that my sister got me for Christmas back then. Ready? American Eagle pinstripe kind of like suit America, pants. Baby. And guess what sneakers? I've told this before. Who knows it?
Oh, going deep into trivia.
Creative Rex.
Creative Rex Cesario Lowe's. To be fair, the good ones though.
Tell us the excuse.
The ones that Kanye was in a New York Times profile in the studio and he has his feet up and he's wearing the same ones. They're light blue, navy blue. It wasn't the patent leather era of Creative Rec. It was the low tops. But that was my fit. And, well, Dee, to your point, you didn't know. I was like seven jeans. And then Bradley walks over and Bradley has like the Stussy Delta Forces on or the Supreme Delta Forces and like a leather bomber, a leather like destroyer type jacket back then. Crazy surfer hair, and I'm like,
you knew in that moment you fucked up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just seeing people walk in this office, and I'm like, I think Cheryl had like Jordan 4s with the tag hanging.
Cheryl, really?
Yes. And I'm like, yo, I don't know shit about this, about what's cool and what's not. And I was like, I showed up in like a fit that I thought was cool that was totally missed the mark.
So Joe, I remember there was like one of the, because I was like, I had gotten like an internship. That was like what I was doing at the time. And I came in one day a week. I had to work in Matthew Henson's fashion closet doing blog posts.
In a literal closet? Okay.
In the literal fashion closet.
Remember stars came out of there too.
It was in the corner, like at the end of the road. I remember going to a meeting with Joe, and I think they were doing like, it was like, you can come to this meeting, we're going to discuss something. And it was like the most stylish men in media, and Joe LaPuma's all like sprawled out on his office couch, and he has a pair of Anwar Raging Bull shorts on. And I don't remember what sneakers you had. It may have been like Jordan 4s or something like that. But like in my head at the time, that was like, that whole era was like, you need to wear suits for work and you need to dress up. Joe LaPuma's just stretched out in leather basketball shorts.
They had the Bull. So Anwar took the classic Bull shorts and made them into leather shorts with like the side. Yeah. And
you were the first one of Barney's.
Yeah, no, they were samples. Shouts to Curtains and shouts to maybe Upscale at that point, yeah, too. And Rob, they came to En Noir and Curtains. I remember they were sampled leather shorts. But you know what it might have been at that point, Welty? And the years may have been off. Red Nike. This was a shoe that I was like, this is going to be the biggest shoe.
Oh, I know what it is.
Red Flyknit Chuck Amid. Is that around the same time? I remember I definitely wore the Anwar leather shorts with the red fly and Chuck
photos of the shit so bad, man.
They're probably out there, honestly. And
I need the Pulver twins to dig them up.
Let me tell you, that shoe flopped, didn't it? Looking back,
it was around for a little bit. Didn't have a lot of staying power though. I bought a lot of Flyknit Lunar Chuckas.
So did I, and I have like at my parents' house, I have dead stock ones, and I was like, man, these didn't really pan out, but. Let's get to our guy.
No. I feel like we're not done hearing Welty's story.
No, that's I ended up working doing freelance. I ended up becoming freelance for Style. And this at the time there was sneaker editors as well.
Okay, and this is 2012.
This is 2012, 2013. And okay. I remember the sneaker editors at the time, Nick Engvall and Russ Benson, used to share the office.
Yes.
That was like right in.
Yes.
We were all in the same row. This was at the 23rd Street Complex office where
what
back
a
then,
team.
Brendan, actual like cubicles. There was cubicles.
Yeah.
Even the people like who were like the deputy editors had like cubicles themselves. No one except for people like Joe had like real offices.
Lawrence was in there.
Lawrence, Sue Young, Gian.
James Harris was Carrizo.
Me and Carrizo were okay. freelancing together at the same time.
Nick James Engvall. Harris,
Noah Johnson.
Oh man.
Matthew Henson.
Dream.
I guess Chris
team.
And Nick Schoenberger were both there, right?
They were both there. Rob Kenner, Dave Brie, rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace.
A lot of it was
Donnie.
Donnie was there, I believe.
Donnie Kwok, our current GM.
Yeah, it was. But ended up freelancing, and then I started doing post for the sneaker guys. Started doing for Style. Was still working at Foot Locker. I think I worked. I always say this. I think I worked probably about 450 days in a row.
Sundays off. And Saturdays.
I used to work at Foot Locker. I was at J. Crew.
Five beats a day for three summers.
In Foot Locker, and I used to have to write blog posts for Style on the weekend, and I would try to leech the internet off of the Barnes & Noble next door.
Wealthy's been stealing internet for a decade now.
Wow.
And I try, and in the 10 minutes I had off, or like 30 minutes I had off, I'd be like, I'm going to go get lunch. And I could see if I could bang out two news posts in the stock room. I'd bring my laptop with me and try to literally like,
you said this is a stock room at J. Crew or at Foot Locker?
At Foot Locker and okay. at J. Crew as well. But yeah, I just try to write as many blog posts as I can. Like trying to write a blog post in 10 minutes. I'm like, I have five minutes to find something on the internet. Let me write it as fast as I can.
To that, another parallel with that, Welty, I remember Justin Monroe, former Complex, senior staff writer, great writer, one of the most witty people I've ever worked with. As an intern at Complex, I was still working at Finish Line, and this was peak The Wire era. And Justin Monroe was like a go-to writer for The Wire. He interviewed David Simon, the creator of The Wire, so many times. And when I tell you he interviewed him so many times, the interviews were like an hour and a half each one. And I would have to transcribe them. I would never finish them at Complex. I was literally at the register at Finish Line in South Shore Mall with a headphone in, talking to customers, transcribing the interviews on the clock. Yes, on the clock. I used to use the Finish Line computers that had like all the numbers and the money and all different options. I would open Microsoft Word and I would be doing that while kind of managing the sales floor. And that's what it was. You were blogging in the stockroom. That's what it was like for so many shifts I was doing that, and I just remember it was always David Simon from The Wire, and I hadn't watched the show, so
I hadn't watched the show
yet, which I watch now. Amazing show. And I'm like, man, what are they talking? I remember doing one with Chameleonaire, a transcription when I was on the clock. I remember these days, and it was like, I remember being like, all right, the store is going to get slow from like 8:30 to 9:30, right before closing, and I could really
bang out all your extra work.
Exactly. So, but we'll bounce back on this podcast. Let's get to my guy,
the Oregon roots.
Yeah, the Oregon's prodigal son.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was I was still in college when I started blogging, and I was just a person who was consuming all these websites all the time, like you guys. I was reading Sneaker News all the time. I was reading Complex all the time. Maybe a little bit of Nice Kicks, maybe a little bit of Kicks on Fire. But, you know, this was around 2011, I think, when I first got my start at Sneaker News, which it was the first site I worked for. They had just a small little, I wouldn't even call it a banner. It was like half a banner saying that they were looking for people to write freelance for them. And so I filled out the application, sent in some samples, and I don't think I heard anything for a number of months, but eventually I got an email back from Yuming Wu, the founder of the site, co-founder of a number of different things, you know, Sneaker Con, really, really involved at Stadium Goods, a company
Freshness
called Liquid Rice, Freshness. I mean, so he emailed me back and they were down, but the first sites I was writing for were actually Freshness Mag, which was sort of like Hypebeast in the era. Freshness is still around, working for Poe, rest in peace, and Dan doing blog posts there. And then a site they were starting at the time, Jordan's Daily. So those were my first. I kind of had to graduate to Sneaker News from those first couple of sites. And like, I was still in college at the time, and I was taking less classes because I was going into my senior year, I think. So I had more and more time to just work. And there were a couple different forks in the road where I had to decide. I think I've mentioned on here before, I was working at a card shop selling Magic cards and helping run tournaments and things like that. And I was working there and doing the blogging thing, kind of juggling shifts between both in the summer, I think between my junior and senior year at the University of Oregon, and trying to figure out where I should spend my time. And I realized doing the math that it was just way more lucrative to, you know, write 4 blog posts in an hour than to sit around selling card singles to kids. And then also I remember, so I studied linguistics at the University of Oregon, and I had a professor, Tyler Kendall, who I was really, you know, I looked up to, and we were talking about working together on some stuff, and he was starting up a language variation and change lab, I think that summer. And he was like, it sounds like you have the option to kind of figure out what you want your future to be here. Do you want to continue to pursue this linguistic stuff? Do you want to work with me in this lab, or do you want to spend more time doing your sneaker stuff? And I remember that I had to make that decision, and I decided to pursue sneakers and kind of went full into it from there. And so was working all through my senior year. And then right when I graduated in 2012, Sneaker News, by that time I was writing for Sneaker News under John Kim and Aaron KR, and they offered me a full-time job, and I took it right when I graduated. And then a couple months later, they wanted me to move to New York. I'd never been to New York, but I, you know, it was the only thing for me. It was the best thing that could happen to me at the time. So I bought a one-way ticket from Portland to Newark. You know, my college girlfriend at the time, you know, she drove me to the airport, and
you went the separate ways and never saw her again.
It was all over right then, and I haven't seen her since. And
really, how, what was that like? Not to get too personal, but how long
were
you dating?
It was emotional, man. It was
totally,
you know, it was the end of a period in my life. It was a very distinct end. Everything was starting over. I was going across the country to a place I'd never been before to start an entirely new life, entirely new job, knew nobody in New York, took a cab from Newark to Queens, where I lived for a brief time when I first started here. And yeah, it was just so crazy to suddenly be quote unquote in the industry, because I was working remotely and it didn't really feel like I was that involved, you know, or I had that many connections. So all of a sudden to get to go to sneaker parties or go to 21 Mercer, which was 2 blocks from the 401 Broadway office that Sneaker News was in at the time. It was massive. I remember.
Isn't it weird? Like, I think I had a full circle moment on that as well, where it's like, I remember going like Hypebeast back in the day, you know, when they had like the Hypebeast blogs, not the website. Like, they had all the Lupe Fiasco had his own
more like
blogs.
First like persons they, type stuff.
I think I got more hyped off of seeing, like, when you'd see people like Rob Hepler and all those sort of people who would just be posting, like, the sneakers they'd be getting, the parties they'd be going to, like, all that sort of stuff. And when you finally, like, came from, like, this small town and were in New York, and then you were one of those people who were at those, like, Mishka, like, you know, free alcohol events, and you're like, wait.
That was all
you're like, wait.
To.
You're like, wait, I went from being the kid reading about this on the internet to participating in it. I don't know, Brendan, if that was obviously, you know, different life ambitions, but at those events was a big thing for you as well, you know?
One thing about the Hypebeast blogs, Jim Jones did a Kith Timberland boot photo shoot. And
I don't remember that.
They passed on posting it on the main Hypebeast page. I had a Hypebeast blog at the time, and I put it on my
Joel had a Hypebeast blog.
I put it on my Hypebeast blog.
That had to capo.
And also Rob Hepler. Shouts to Rob Hepler, because I think, like, Rob Hepler was like, I mean, he still is. He's still like, Rob Hepler was like, is it fair to say kind of a bully at one point? And I remember he was
always,
posting.
I think that's always been always. His personality.
And yeah, and it's so funny because him and I think, like, I might have said something. I was so like, oh, you don't have to post everything you got. And I wouldn't say it to him because I was, like, not scared of him, but I wouldn't say to his face. And now it's like everyone does that. You know what I mean? And I think – and him and I, we haven't talked about
– This is before Instagram. So it's like you didn't have anywhere
to have a way.
Yeah, I probably felt the way that he was getting all this stuff. And then I was like, oh, man, did you have to post everything you get? But Rob Hepler – I'll talk to him like once or twice a year.
We got
to
get
always,
him on the podcast.
Oh man, it's always a great catch up to talk to him. Sorry, Don, but yeah.
I think it's interesting with you too, Brendan, because, you know, me and Joe came in through Complex, which was, it felt much more like broader lifestyle, like New York City. At the time, it was still a magazine, so it was like the magazine media world, where you strictly came in through like sneaker blog, where there was a little bit differentiation between those two worlds.
Yeah, totally. That was all I was focused on, and I was so hyped to just do that. I didn't have to think about anything else, and that was all I wanted to be thinking about or doing, you know. It just, yeah, like I said, that first office on 401 Broadway. I remember, I think my first two New York celebrity sightings, it was like I saw Espo, I saw Steve Powers with his tall ass hair like around the corner, and then I saw Franelations right by Joey Pepperoni.
Oh, that's a great first shot. Celebrity sighting. Okay.
Celebrity sighting, Franelations. Yeah, shout
the
out, Fran.
Black Easy 2's on, and I was like, I'm here.
What I love about you guys, the background, you guys really like were shoe dogs, though, compared to me, I would say.
Well,
I like
grew up in the industry.
Yeah, man. Like you guys.
This is like
you,
the Bane thing.
You guys like really, the Wealthy, I'm sure like that training from Dick's, does that still stay? Do you still remember some of that stuff? And is it applied at all to what we're doing now?
Well, I think it just gave me a different, not to go too far into it, I think it gave me a different perspective on footwear. I even remember when I was working at Foot Locker, where like a running shoe to a lot of people were Nike Shox, and I was like, Nike Shox are awful. You need to look into Mizuno and Brooks. And
your hate for Nike Shox still intact to this day.
Yeah, but it just kind of made me look outside of just what's cool and maybe make me appreciate more things. And I think maybe I still have that viewpoint to this day. Not to go too much into it, but
yeah.
Oh, Joe.
Yo,
one thing that came up that I should have mentioned.
Here we go.
No, I should have mentioned
put
in there.
The dry
no,
snitch
one,
alert. I could see it coming.
No,
look ahead.
No, not at all.
Okay, go.
One magnanimous moment, I think. I don't know if I had mentioned it before on the podcast, was going to Project in Las Vegas.
Okay.
And with 2-inch cuffs, and they had a thing called Blogger Project, and Marcus Troy flew us out.
A good friend of mine back in the
Marcus
day, Marcus
Troy. Flew you out, Welty?
Actually, he didn't fly me out. He flew out Ruben, who was the guy running 2-inch cuffs at the time. And he got one hotel room, and we all had to sleep on the floor. And
that was the thing, man.
Sleeping
that was,
on the floor at Project.
That was, you know how many press trips I like shit? You know how many press trips I parlayed with, like, hey, come with me and like we could get a vacation out of this, and like I'm gonna have to do some of this stuff during the day, but like you could chill in Miami, and like I would share hotel rooms with my friends. You know how many? And then the other thing, so funny, I remember, I forget who it was, and it was like I was with the brand, right? And I was like, just you can't be seen with me. I don't want anyone to know that you are with me. literally, like there was a part where we were at the elevator with my friend, and I was like, and then I saw like a group of people I was with. I was like, go away. The person was like, I always would be like, hey, can you book two beds for me? And it was a way
that. Did
they
ever ask why?
Never. And also, we had no money to go on vacation. So I was like, hey, listen, you know, I have events during the day with this, and like, I'll probably have a dinner. But then after that, we could like chill in Miami. And my friends, I'll be like, you don't have to pay for the hotel. And you don't like have to pay. No, I was like, you know, all you have to do is pay for the flight. Mm-hmm. And they would piggyback on the press trips, and when I wasn't like hanging out with the group, I would be in Miami with my friends, and it was like that's what we got to do, because we never, you know, I never like planned a trip or traveled on like vacation. But I don't know if that's a move that I feel like everyone did that, right?
Yeah,
I've seen that a number of times. Yeah,
I remember, because it was funny, because we were doing the thing and it was called Blogger Project, and basically I had to go, you know, interview people who had their own brands and setups, and I would just go talk to them and do a quick, you know, blog post about the company. But I remember walking around and just meeting so many people. Like, this one might throw some in for a debate, but I remember going to the Publish booth. This is 2012, so right when jogger pants started to catch on, and seeing Ronnie and the Kith team going and talking to the published guys.
I'm trying to start some beef here.
I'm not even doing it. It's just like kind of crazy to like those little moments where like we have no clue who each other are, and you're just kind of like, oh my God, that's Ronnie Feig. You know?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say on that topic, Welty? Are you trying to say
No. It's just I'm not trying to cause any
the
sort of
the biggest beef of 2012, the jogger pant cuff, the 2-inch cuff, the 2-inch cuff debate. Who
the
reigns supreme?
2-inch cuff.
And I do remember my first byline in Complex magazine, though. And it wasn't a byline.
You mean in the print?
Yeah, in the print. August, September 2006, Pharrell and the Clips are on the cover. The editor-in-chief at the time, Richard Martin, gave me a chance to write. And it was 5 store spotlights. And I don't remember all the stores, but I do remember one. And it was like when it just opened. Pharrell and Clips are on the cover. They're in like suits. August, mm-hmm. September 2006. And it was my first opportunity to write. It was a store guide. Bodega was one of them. And just seeing my words in the magazine was so special to me. I remember I was communicating with the co-founder of Bodega, Oliver Mack, and I was embarrassed because back then I didn't have a Joe LaPuma email address. It was products@complex.com. So I'm calling in products. I'm calling in sneakers, samples. I'm calling in liquor for the liquor page. And I'm emailing for my first writing assignment, like Oliver, to be like, hey, can you send me photos of the store, and can you tell me exactly how the Snapple machine works? Mm-hmm. You step on the tile, and I remember the email. I didn't have the Joe LaPuma at Complex, which is another. I'm sure that you guys, that is another tentpole event.
The email address changes
when you get the email address. My email address for years was products@complex.com, and I would be like, "Hey, it's Joe," and the email address that
Joe
would pop
here.
Up. Yeah, exactly. But I remember. 50 Words on Bodega was one of the stores. I did another store in San Francisco, and no byline, but it was like in the, you know, the other thing, the part of the magazine, it was like in the spine of one of the pages. So like you couldn't see it. And I just remember being
tucked you away right next to the center.
Exactly. I just remember being though so excited to see my words in Complex magazine. And it's just like those are the things, you know, Welty, you and I talk about it a lot, about like you see old photo shoots from Complex and you remember exactly your mindset. I think for you it was the Kid Cudi, Kid Cudi first cover, him in the Louis Vuitton sneakers that Kanye designed. And I remember all those fashion beatdown columns that Matt Doyle, the in-house photographer, shot of Kanye, where Kanye would critique celebrities' clothing. And it's so weird that – maybe it's not weird – looking at those photos, it re-inspires me on a day-to-day basis that we're fortunate to do what we're doing now.
My first, I never got to, I actually disappointed, I never got to write like a real magazine story for whatever reason. I got to do a little bit of magazine work because I think sneakers weren't even as big a part of the actual print magazine, like as towards the end of it, as far as like cover stories go and that sort of stuff. But I think the first magazine thing that I got to write was they had given the Raf Simons Adidas the first time they ever came out. And it was like the full high top boot ones and all this sort of stuff. And I was like, are these sneakers a fucking joke? Like you really want me to write about these? I wasn't seeing the vibe.
Remember I were the black ones with like the weird things on the side, they were leather. Were those Raf Simons Adidas? I wore them nonstop. I love those. Those weren't them though, right?
No. I don't think those may have been part of it, but the other ones were a little wonkier.
Well, you know what? You didn't get to do a magazine feature, but we wrote a damn book.
Ooh, that's true. Get that book if you haven't already. Are we going to get on the Times? Are we getting on the Times bestseller? I'd be checking.
I don't know, Joe.
I'm checking. But it's not,
I don't know if we're going to hit
not
it.
Not looking good. So those are just some of the early stories. We don't have unlimited time right now, unfortunately.
There's a lot of chapters to
there's
this,
a
man.
Lot. There's a lot, and there's a lot bouncing around. But we did think it was important that we kind of set the stage of how we all got our start in this industry, because I think we all get those questions a lot. And you assume that people know, but
we still have like another decade to go through. Like, you know, we're all like in 2012 where we were. I didn't even get to Complex yet.
And that's what I like. This will be part of like an ongoing series, I think, because we have a lot more to discuss. And
you don't want to dip your feet too far in the pool yet. You're just like, this is how. It's funny. You almost feel like you're on like a first date. Like, so how did you get to what you do? And you kind of have to run.
How much time do you have? Yeah.
Yeah. You get to run through it all.
Yeah. We will pick this back up. And I encourage any questions that you guys have, hit us like.
Not in the DMs.
Not in the DMs, but hit us.
You can add us on Twitter. Stay out of my DMs unless your last name is Pulver.
Hit us in the comments about some questions you want us to answer. I think it's important to do some of these episodes where usually we're the ones interviewing people, but we wanted to give some insight as to our early beginnings. And we'll continue the story and we'll pick it up. And hopefully it's in multiple parts succession and you guys see the progression of our career, because there's still a lot of stories that we could tell.
A lot of industry beefs. Succession and progression. That's what it's all about, baby.
Absolutely. Hope everyone stays safe. It's a busy week for everyone. We will see you guys next week. Thank you, as always, for joining us. This is the Complex Sneakers Podcast. Our producer is Dave Matthews. Our associate producer is Jasmine Plata. Sound engineering done by William Smith. Special thanks to Jennifer Stewart and Shiva Bayet. The Complex Sneakers Podcast is a production of the Complex Podcast Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.